Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Stack Overflow podcast, a place to talk about all things software and technology. Today, this is a Ben-free edition. I know we like to talk about AI a lot on this podcast. We're going to turn the AI lens on ourselves and talk about how we're using AI and the sort of experiments and what we've learned. We are joined today by Jessica Clark, who is a senior data scientist and of platform engineering here at Stack Overflow. So welcome to the podcast, Jessica.
Thank you, Ryan. Happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
So at the top of every episode, we like to ask our guests how they got into software technology, what's their path to where they are now.
Sure. So I went to school for information systems, which is kind of a nice blend of computer science and business. When I graduated, I felt like there was still more that I needed to learn and dig into. And so I actually continued on to get my master's, where I fell in love with the world of data. And a lot of, you know, when I graduated, it was not a purely computer science degree. So I definitely had a lot of learning on the job as I dug into some of my like first part of my career working in software engineering. And so a lot of that was learning as I go, but then also just that, you know, data foundation, I think, helped sort of pave the way as well.
Mm-hmm. And at Stack, what do you do as a senior data scientist?
Oh, it changes every day.
How exciting.
It is. It is very exciting. I primarily work with our public platform data in teams. So looking at sort of the behaviors of our users, digging into the different metrics that we use to, you know, make sure that our products are performing how we'd like, and thinking about, you know, additional features that we can build in to make our products better for our users. Mm-hmm. I work closely with our data platform team. And so we're a small bunch, mm-hmm. and we work together to, you know, build out our data infrastructure and our machine learning infrastructure so we can build and deploy models and that sort of thing as well. So there's a lot of moving parts, but we have fun. It's neat to have a little bit of experience in all the different parts of the business.
Yeah. And I definitely appreciate having y'all on deck to help, you know, guide us in our AI journey. Speaking of which, like a lot of people, a lot of organizations, we have been, you know, seeing how we can use generative AI with public platform, if at all, right? Can you talk about how that started and when was that?
Oh, let's see. About a year and a half ago, we started to dig into building a recommender system. So that was like one of the very first things I did when I joined Stack, mm-hmm. to improve the related question sidebar module. And this work was sort of like an introduction to using sentence transformers at Stack. You know, looking at that type of architecture for modeling purposes. And right as we were getting close to deploying that, we started to receive some headwinds around the ChatGPT mm-hmm. announcement and that sort of thing. So that was like fall, you know, a year ago from this past fall.
Right.
And that was sort of the introduction that we received into sort of getting our feet wet in that area. Mm-hmm. So from there, we started to explore different ways we could potentially, you know, work with this technology. Luckily, we had already started to implement the related questions recommender system. And so that mm-hmm. helped sort of get us off the ground. We were already embedding a lot of our data and looking at knowledge graphs across our content, kind of looking at how we group content together and that sort of thing. So sort of a nice primer before sort of going all in the Gen AI space.
Right. And yeah, the ChatGPT was sort of the thing that blew it up for everybody, I think, right?
Yeah, definitely. It got the most attention for sure.
Well, it was out in the wild now. And we've talked to, you know, other organizations like IBM and Intuit who had research programs going. And when ChatGPT hit, well, now the genie's out of the bottle. You got to start developing this as a product, right? You got to see how it fits.
Definitely.
So before ChatGPT, what kind of embedding strategy were we using? Was that the transformers or was there something else?
We were using a transformer architecture. We were actually leveraging pre-trained transformers from Hugging Face.
What sort of use cases are we using it for, besides the recommender?
Yeah, so since kind of diving into the different ways we could apply Gen AI, we've kind of narrowed down to a couple different areas, which we found to be sort of the best for where we are right now on our journey. So one application is using it for search. So we have a ton of content and being able to leverage semantic capabilities within our content and not just rely on a simple keyword match. We're able to really improve our search algorithms, which allows us, you know, hopefully allows the user to get appropriate content when they're searching on our site. What's very interesting about that, though, is it does require sort of a different behavior when searching. Mm. And so it is a different, slightly different approach, which we've been using different techniques like hybrid search to allow for both and for it to perform well with both. So that was one application of how we're using Gen AI, or LLMs, I should say.
Sure.
From a Gen AI perspective, we're digging more into the summarization feature for on top of search. And so the idea is being able to deduce sort of the content to answer your question more specifically, but always sort of giving attribution to the content authors in that summary, and also providing a list of the associated questions right below, so you can dig in deeper if you would like to learn more about what, you know, what you're asking for.
Yeah, I know that attribution is really important to, you know, our community and the folks here. We want to make sure that, you know, we still give credit where credit is due. But
definitely
from my reading on these, it does seem like you don't need the super muscly LLMs to do the things like semantic similarity and summarization. Those seem like the ones that's like baseline LLM tools. Seems like that's the efficient way to go, is just get something smaller.
Definitely. We have recently, in the last year, brought on a vector database to help us work through. And so we're leveraging Weaviate to do some of that computation. And you're right, you don't need a super complex model to perform some of these searches, for sure.
Have you tested like very small? Is there like a baseline number of parameters that you think that's the minimum LLM? Like, I know everybody talks about 7 billion, but can you go lower?
You know, it depends on what task you're using it for. I mean, I've seen great performance. There's, you know, different approaches. Like, you probably heard about Databricks' recent release of DBRX and sort of the mixture of experts approach. And so we're coming up with different techniques and ways to start to create more powerful LLMs without them being so large. Mm-hmm.
Just trying to squeeze as much performance out of them, yeah.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. And so a lot of those different techniques are helping, I think, improve sort of the smaller models. And I think as time goes on, we'll probably see models that are, you know, on all of our phones and, you know, can run and under very small computational domains. So, yeah.
Yeah. We've talked to folks about quantization, trying to put things on mobile phones, and that's kind of exciting, but also like the muscle it takes, even on my local computer, to run something, you know, quantized, it's super slow. So I wonder, you know, have you seen good results locally?
I wish I could say that I've tested that locally. Yeah, no, we leverage Databricks for, you know, we're leveraging a lot of GPU powered.
Right.
Machines. And so I haven't done a lot of the investigative work locally myself. So
that's fair. I think I had somebody send me the local LLM tester, and it took about 5 minutes to generate anything.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah. So we're hosting all of this with Databricks. Are we using any other hosting for the AI stuff?
Yeah. So Weaviate for a vector database, Databricks for computational work. Yeah. Databricks is basically basically our data platform.
Right.
So we, yeah, it's a nice, they're constantly rolling out new features and really going all in this space. So it allows us to continuously develop. We're able to listen to that using all of that data stored in our data lake and we used Delta Live Tables for ingesting all of that data and then you know, do any transformations and that sort of thing. And then we also have Snowflake for analysts and product managers to use as well. And so that kind of does a nice look back on our data if they're building dashboards and that sort of thing, or just general querying.
Right. So do you have an opinion on the data lake versus data warehouse versus data lake house paradigms? I mean, I keep hearing about the data lake house lately, and it seems to be the new hot thing. Does it matter?
good question. I think for our for what we're doing at Stack, the data lake house is just fine. I think is that a Databricks specific term?
I don't think so. I've heard other people
do. Is it not? Okay.
Yeah, but it does seem a way to kind of cheat and get the data warehousing speed and efficiency without paying for it.
Yeah, that's interesting because I believe Databricks calls it a data lake house, but maybe I am mistaken on that. I'd have to look it up, but I feel like the names of things change constantly. Right. Just trying to keep up with all of it. Yeah. But I think for the simplicity of querying and that sort of thing, more of a relational database is just fine. And, it depends obviously on what you're doing and how large your queries are and how you're optimizing. And I know I feel like we could probably talk all day about the pros and cons of each.
Yeah, we did a piece with IBM and they were talking about their lake house and it was Parquet and Hadoop and all these other things sort of stacked on each other. It's like, that seems like you got to be serious to get that level.
That's really interesting.
Yeah.
Our data is highly curated and that allows for the best training ever because that's exactly what folks are looking for. And we have a very unique position with our community. We have sort of this crowdsourced approach to making sure that our data stays, up to date, but making sure that it's tagged appropriately, that, there aren't misspellings. And then obviously the content itself, making sure that we have, the code is sufficient and can run and matches the context of the question that's being asked or the answer that's being given. And so amongst our community, we do have a plethora of highly curated data and that is hard to come by.
Right. We're thinking a lot about how to preserve that, not just make Stack Overflow a feeder farm for LLMs, right? We're trying to find a way to, maintain the community. Genie's out of the bottle, right?
Yeah, that's true. I think there's an important component when it comes to, it's a full life cycle. So, we have amazing data that our community provides. We're using it to train models. And then ideally we finish that circle of continuation where we're giving back to the community more specific answers or tailoring to their needs. And we're reducing the time it takes to search for the answers that they're looking for, helping them solve their problems more quickly. And so hopefully we see that continuous behavior and also identifying where we have maybe gaps in our content, where, technologies exist where people do have questions, but we just don't have them on our site. And so kind of how do we build out our portfolio of questions and answers to help our, our users?
Yeah.
Introducing Modus Toolbox 3.2, the latest tools released within Infineon's development ecosystem for microcontrollers, which supports multiple IDEs, command line tools, and easily imports middleware libraries. Visit infineon.com/stackoverflow to try Modus Toolbox software today for free. That's infineon.com/stackoverflow. Head to that link and let them know the podcast sent you.
So you've been working on our LLM program, you know, since the beginning. What has surprised you the most, or what has been your favorite thing you've learned?
Oh, that's a great question and a hard one. Yeah. There's been lots of learnings along the way. I think probably throughout this process, one of the biggest pieces of awareness that has been brought to me and, you know, Stack as a whole is probably around risk mitigation and understanding sort of the impacts of this tooling and you know, applying LLMs to, and Gen AI to different problem spaces. You know, the generative models are non-deterministic. And so you see, you know, varying outputs, which is not how Stack has operated. Yeah. So it's a new domain and is requiring us to think about sort of the impacts of those results on, you know, for the different use cases that we apply Gen AI to. And so, you know, thinking about the potential toxicity that could exist or bias, you know, and some of the data and how that can continue through and feed into the output that it's given. And so we've had to learn a lot about how to put sufficient guardrails, thinking about sentiment detection. You know, you probably heard and know all about the unfriendly robot, but really taking that to the next level and, you know, digging in to more of that side of things and just creating a safe space for our users.
Yeah. So what sort of guardrails are we putting up? Are we using like other LLMs to do evaluation?
So we leverage Azure OpenAI's content moderation tool. They have a really nice API that does a check on both input and output and provides a numerical value of both on the level of the particular input or output across different domains like toxicity or biasness, et cetera.
And to be clear, this is being just on like, you know, semantic searches. This isn't being applied to any like, you know, actual questions on the site, right?
That is correct. That is correct. So it's not applying to the actual data. It's the input and output of our search and our search results as it applies to like our summarization feature. Right. And so we have started to explore other ways of doing things internally. I mentioned the unfriendly robot. Right. That's a model that's run in-house, and we've started to dig into, you know, do we want to build it out across all of our content, our comments, you know, that sort of thing at a larger scale. And that's definitely something I think that would be beneficial for our, even our mods that are content reviewers and things of that nature. So they don't have to, you know, worry about that as much and focus more on the content itself.
Yeah. And for folks that don't know Unfriendly Robot, it's my understanding it's flagging potential unfriendly comments or questions or whatever, and putting them in the mod queue. Is that correct?
Exactly. So we do like our own, it's like first pass of flagging. And then, yeah, it allows us to hopefully reduce the burden on the reviewers. So it's kind of a quick check before it goes to our mods.
Sure. I mean, the bless the mods. It's a lot of work reviewing and making sure that, you know, people aren't being jerks. So I hope these tools are helping them make the site a better place.
I hope so too. And that's our goal, is to like continue to work more in that space and, you know, make their lives easier, kind of, like I said, reduce the burden on some of the things that are, you know, are time consuming, but probably not as fun to deal with, like misspellings and things of that nature. So, you know, just finding ways to provide support for them.
So what are you excited about for the future of, you know, LLMs and generative AI?
I think what's really interesting is, you know, we're moving more into not just language models, but, you know, all sorts of different approaches to building models that mimic, you know, our human behaviors and our brains, and, you know, so looking more into the multimodality side of things, you know, how visual, audio, you know, all of those different components aside from language, and how it can all fit together to be applied to, you know, different industries. And I think it's the world of self-driving cars and things of that nature that are just really going to improve drastically due to sort of the advancements that we're seeing. And simulation is another big one that I think is really, it's a really interesting space, because we're not just, you know, physically having to build things from the ground up. We can mimic these experiments in a virtual setting and try and test lots of different combinations of, you know, approaches to learn. And I'm sure we'll see many advancements in like the sciences as time goes on.
It's exciting times. It's green fields for everybody here.
Yeah, definitely. And at Stack, I'm really excited to see, you know, we've done a lot of investigative work ourselves, and we've, you know, been really learning and growing as an organization. And I'm excited to see sort of this data knowledge spreading throughout to a point where we are really tying it back to the data, which is great to see, because when I first joined, it was not as much that way. So it's been a great transition over the last couple of years.
Okay. All right, everybody. As we do, I'd like to give a shout out to somebody who came on the Stack Overflow community and shared a little knowledge, saved a question with a lifeboat badge, one awarded 15 hours ago, yesterday, to MacFidge, how to do a control A and a control C. Well, if you're wondering how to do those keystrokes, I assume programmatically, check it out. We'll put it in the show notes. I'm Ryan Donovan. I edit the blog here at Stack Overflow. You can find it at stackoverflow.blog. And if you want to reach out to me, you can find me on X at Arthur Donovan. And of course, leave a rating and review. It really helps.
Jessica Clark, it was great to talk to all of you today. And hope you have a wonderful afternoon.
All right. Thanks, everybody. And we'll see you next time.